Let us pray. God of grace, we come broken, hungry, and hopeful. You have power to heal, power to bless, power to give life. We open our hearts to your grace. Only speak the word, and we shall be made whole. Amen. The Old Testament reading is a reading from 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man, and the king admired him, because through Naaman, God had given Aram a victory. He was a mighty warrior, and he suffered from leprosy. Now, on one of the raids, the Arameans had taken a young Israelite girl captive, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only Naaman would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his king just what the Israelite girl had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." Naaman went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his robe and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your robe? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha had sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of Yahweh his God, and would have his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "With all respect, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you have not done it? Then why not, when all he had said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The word of life. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel in the 7th chapter. Luke tells us that Jesus has delivered the Sermon on the Plain, Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And then he said, after Jesus had made all these sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now there was a Roman commander there who had a slave that he dearly loved, and the slave had fallen ill and was near death. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him to ask him to come heal his slave. And so they came to Jesus, and they appealed to him earnestly and said, "This man is worthy that this should be done for him, because he loves our people, and it is he who has built our synagogue." Jesus went along with them, but while he was still just a little distance from the house, the centurion sent some of his friends who had a different message. "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And when I say to one, 'Go,' he goes. And when I say to another one, 'Come,' he comes. And when I say to a slave, do this, the slave does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And he turned to the crowd that was following him and he said, I tell you, in all of Israel, I have never found such faith. And when the people who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
There's a sentence that's taken from that story that appears in the Catholic Mass when they come to the communion table that we never use in the Protestant services, but I love it. It's hard for people, so I never use it because it needs a little explaining. The priest says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are invited to the supper. And then we all respond, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be made well. That's hard for people because it's really hard to tell people that you need to say, I'm not worthy. People get enough messages that they're not worthy, that they're unworthy, that they're less worthy. But that's not what this means. It comes from the centurion. The centurion really loved that slave. I imagine this slave working for him for years. And they've become like brothers. They love each other. And when this slave falls sick, it just breaks the centurion's heart. And I bet he spent a lot of money on doctors, bringing them in, trying to fix this guy, and he's not getting any better. And then he hears about this healer who has great compassion, and he's a great healer. So the first thing the centurion does is he sends some Jewish elders, some people with some leverage. He sends a delegation of elders who can impress Jesus, who can convince him that this needs to happen. They can impress upon him how important it is that this healing happen. And they do. They're good at it. They show up and they say, he is worthy that this should be done for him because he loves his people and he's the one who paid for our synagogue. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the centurion, because he really loves that slave, is worrying. I can see him just pacing back and forth going, come on, I hope he comes. I hope he comes in time. I hope he comes fast. I hope he does come. I hope he says yes. What if the elders that I sent aren't convincing enough? What if they don't put it on thick enough? I should have sent a bigger delegation. I should have sent more of them. I should have sent money. What was I thinking? I should have sent money. Then he'd be sure to come. And then he begins to have more second thoughts. And he thinks, you know, this healer, he's famous for his compassion. He'll come. Of course he'll come. Because he has compassion. In fact, he would come even if I weren't worthy. He would come if I were nobody. Oh my gosh. I've sent those elders to say exactly the wrong thing. He won't come because I'm worthy. He'll come because he's loving. So he sends this time not Jewish elders, but some friends. People who love him. And they come with a completely different message. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. So I don't even presume to come to you. He's not saying he's unworthy or less worthy. He's saying there is no worthiness. He's not playing some kind of false modesty and saying, oh, really, I'm nobody. He knows he's somebody. He has a lot of power. He has a lot of influence. He has prestige. He is intentionally setting all of that power and that prestige aside and saying, that doesn't make me worth anything. I just love my servant. And I think you do too. And I think all you have to do is say the word and he'll be fine. Because I understand that just like me, you are a man who is set under authority. You're not just willy-nilly deciding whether or not to heal people. Just like I am under Caesar's command, you're under God's command. And if God wants my servant to be healed, by golly, you will see to it. And just like I have soldiers under me and they obey my command, you have power. And if you say that you want healing, something will happen. So I wonder, when Jesus says, I've never seen such faith, which part of that he means? The part in which the centurion trusts that God really desires healing? That's faith. The willingness of the centurion to ask, to do what must be seen by some of his peers as stooping so low as to appeal to the local witch doctor, because he cares about his servant that much. He'll do that. Is his faith, his awareness that he's not worth any more or less than anybody, that that's not how God works? God is just pure love. Is his faith, his trust that Jesus can do this? Is it that whole big thing? Maybe all of that is a part of what happens when we say those words. When we say, I am not worthy to receive you. Doesn't mean I'm unworthy. Doesn't mean anybody is more or less worthy, because worth is something that you artificially create by comparing it with something else. Right? A painting is worth $1,000 because they're of equal value. But God doesn't compare us with anything. God just loves us the way we are. We're okay, period. Even if we're a squawky baby making noise, God still says, you're my baby. I love you. The most power and prestige and influence in the world and the least do not figure. We don't come to this table because we deserve it. We come because God loves us. And we come, in fact, to learn to get rid of our judgments of who is worthy and who isn't, of what we deserve and what we don't. That nagging feeling that we need to be good enough to come before God. Jesus invites us to let that go. I am not worthy. I'm just beloved. Only say the word, and I will be blessed. We trust that grace. Maybe that's all that faith is, just reaching out and asking. So we say those words, and then we come to this table with our outstretched hands, like that slave, not maybe even suspecting that somebody who loves us is praying for us. That a God who desires our healing is already working on our behalf. We come like that centurion, not relying on our own worthiness, not judging ours or anybody's worthiness, but trusting the generous love of God that wants us healed, not for our deserving, but because God is loving. Maybe we even come like Jesus, so that the power of that love will flow through us, not because we're worthy, but because God is that loving, that God will use us. That just like that bread becomes part of our bodies, the healing power of God becomes part of our lives, and we only have to speak the word, and this world will be healed. We are not worthy. We're beloved. We and all the world. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your love. We pray that you will help us to let go of the illusion of worth and deserving, that we might trust that all of your creation is of infinite worth to you. And it is not our deserving, but your love that brings us blessing. Help us open our hearts to your grace. Only say the word, and we will be whole. God, we thank you for your grace, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your peace and your grace. Amen.